I can name at least one birdie reason why every month is my favorite, but August has way more than one reason for being special. Songbird and shorebird migrations ratchet up. Nighthawk migration peaks. Cedar waxwings are suddenly everywhere. If a Mississippi kite or swallow-tailed kite shows up at Hawk Ridge at all, this is the month for it. My bird bath sees maximum activity, and one of my very favorite things about August is that this is the month when a lot of birds are molting. Feathers are amazingly strong and incredibly important for a bird's survival, but even the most perfect feather doesn't last forever. Northern birds need their thickest plumage in winter and their brightest colors in spring, and some of my favorite backyard birds, like blue jays, chickadees, and cardinals, time their molt for when they're pretty much done with the exhausting work of producing and raising young, while the temperatures are still balmy enough that they can do with reduced insulation for a few weeks. Ogden Nash's poem, The Canary, provides one perspective on molting. The song of canaries never varies, and when they're molting, they're pretty revolting. But what is revolting for one person may provide hilarity to another. Birds have such orderly plumage most of the year that during the few awkward weeks when they're exchanging old feathers for new, they can look pretty silly. I'd be sympathetic rather than amused if this were a prolonged period, affected their health or well-being, or if they felt self-conscious about it. But in the same way that people in spas look ridiculous before emerging perfectly groomed, birds deal with this molting period with equanimity. Anyone who's had to deal with a cardinal or robin waging a territorial battle with its reflection in a window or a car mirror has seen pretty solid evidence that at least some birds don't understand the concept of reflections. But we also know that some birds do recognize their own image in a mirror. When researchers painted a little spot of white or black on captive magpies on the upper chest, too close to the throat for the bird to see it directly, and gave the birds a mirror, the ones with the white spot on their black feathers saw the spot in the reflection and tried to scratch it off their own throat with their foot. If the spot matched the feathers, they didn't react that way. When I was a licensed rehabber, I loved putting a baby blue jay on my shoulder and taking it to the mirror for the first time. The jay would invariably study our reflections, looking back and forth between my real face and my reflected face and tapping at its own reflection. After encountering the mirror just two or three times, every baby blue jay had figured out that the bird in the reflection was just them, and they pretty much lost interest. I got my little dog Pip in Chicago when she was 10 weeks old, and we spent the first couple nights with Russ's sister and brother-in-law. Their guest room closet door was a floor-to-ceiling mirror. Pip saw her reflection in it right off the bat and toddled over to sniff it, but it seemed sort of boring and predictable, so she quickly moved off to investigate more interesting things. As far as I know, we humans are the only species who both recognizes our reflection and becomes obsessed with it. Imagine a bird or a dog wanting to inject botulism toxin so they'd look different in their mirror. Unlike Narcissus, the only birds who become obsessed with their own reflection are the ones who mistake it for a competitor. Speaking of feather loss and growth, though, I can stop worrying about the catbird who lost its tail back in early July. Replacement feathers did not start coming in for at least 3 weeks, which seemed exceptionally long, but now they're growing in quickly. I wonder if the bird's body just didn't want to use its extra reserves for feather growth at that point in its breeding cycle. Last week, I thought there might be a tiny stub above those rusty tail coverts, but I thought I might just be seeing the folded wingtips. Fortunately, by last weekend, I was sure there was something there, and now the new tail is a couple of inches long and getting longer every day. I'm seeing both this catbird, its mate, and one or two fledglings from their first brood, and I'm pretty sure the parents are feeding nestlings in my dogwood, too. Yep, August is the month of riches and ridiculousness both. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.